This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
From the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Fan Run Radio.
How bad can it get? Just how bad can it get? This is by far the worst team that has ever sat in this locker room. You don't deserve a locker room. You don't deserve a locker room the way you're playing here. You should be playing without uniforms. You should be playing in jockstraps. Every time we get ready to play, I just want to throw up. There's not one of you, not one of you that's learned how to win. We got hammered the last 4 games. And it stopped. Right now!
Dance.
They don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the no one far behind. We can dance.
Dancer.
We can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hats to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It's a Throwdown Thursday edition of the show. I mean, not with us. Well,
damn near was.
Maybe us and Davey, but
I mean, the suspension has carried on indefinite for all day.
We not take these things lightly.
No, it'd be foolish to do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one day would just be kind of a token deal.
Yeah, we got to show people we're serious.
At least two.
Yeah,
I say we make him come back tomorrow though. I'm not gonna give him Friday. I mean,
that's a long weekend.
Even though it's unpaid, I mean.
You should bring him back tomorrow, but then fire him. You always got to fire people on a Friday.
Maybe we should make him work an unpaid day on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fine.
That'd be good. I don't know if you can do that, though. That might be illegal.
Yeah, we'll see.
Make somebody work, not pay.
Just lose the check.
It's indefinite, though. It's
right, yeah, you just don't know. We don't know.
Decide whenever.
Right.
It's the beauty of... I mean, it's the way Coach K punishes his players, so yeah, I feel like it's appropriate in this scenario. Yeah.
Lawless individuals get an indefinite suspension.
Aiding and
abetting.
Yeah. Big win last night.
Yeah.
Rivalry game. Struggled early. Hey, caught a break or two. And made some other ones. And
yeah, what were the I heard the post game spaces last night. They were talking about the.
Oh, I actually missed it live. The only thing I thought was really, it seemed like egregious in our favor was that 3-point play where we tackled a guy and they didn't call anything.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that was a makeup call. Makeup no call. They missed something on the other end,
just,
and then we've been called for some ticky tack 3-point fouls.
We got
them. I've never seen one like that. I mean, he jumps up, lands on the guy. They're just like, play on.
What's weird is though, I was sitting there thinking about it. I guess by new NBA standards, that wouldn't be a foul, honestly, because he did jump into Josiah James, which is weird because in college there's no rule against jumping into the defender, but. Maybe the guy just was thinking about NBA rules for a split second, didn't call it, because by the NBA standard, it probably wouldn't be a foul.
I feel like if somebody
did
gets
he jump
tackled,
into him or just try to dodge him a little bit and then get landed on?
Yeah, I feel like that was a foul.
I don't know how to do it. Yeah, absolutely.
And even if it, I mean, when two guys run into each other, I mean, there are moments in basketball where contact does not equal a foul, but I feel like in that case it did. It doesn't matter, though. Hey, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I mean, this is Reed Carringer last night was tweeting all about it. You know, like the SEC makes $1 billion, and they've chosen not to fix their officiating. And
in any sport, yeah.
So, cry me a river, Florida. We deal with it, too. You guys got to deal with it when you get the short end. Sorry. Deal with it.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this is just the way it's going to be. And you hope that it just doesn't cost you, like, you know.
A championship.
Right, yeah. You just hope it's not the difference. But it probably will be if you play enough basketball or football. Or really any sport. I mean, Pat Adams being the head official is just.
I didn't think he was that bad last night. I mean, I was there, so I didn't see, you know, any close-ups of him during, you know, calls or whatever. I saw him go to the monitor a couple times.
He's just inherently bad, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. Just but I didn't think – you know, he reffed the Arizona game.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't even notice, really. And normally I notice.
Oh, they showed the whole exchange between him and Mike White during the timeout. It was hilarious.
Is that the one where he was like Mike was begging? Was that when he wanted to check the ball? Late?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. This is after the guy got tackled, and he called a timeout, and he came over there, and he went, White goes, that's six. I think he meant six. I think he was saying he cost us 6 points because he was saying that was three, and I guess there were some other plays in the game. He's like, that's six, Pat, six. And he starts talking, and he's like doing his hand motions, and you can tell that Pat Adams goes, like Pat tried to say something, and he got interrupted, and you could tell that Pat said, Mike. Are you going to let me talk? Because then Mike White goes, kind of nods in agreement, puts his hands behind his back.
The White family, it's a classy family.
I mean, he puts his hands behind his back, kind of like,
I'm not going to wave my hands. I'm like, just going to listen.
As my kids would say, I'm not going to step on your words.
Oh,
I'm going to let you say your piece.
I like that. Yep. I'm not going to step on your words.
And then Pat puts his finger out and goes, And Mike like lets him go. And I mean, this is the entire time about it was all 60 seconds was this conversation. And then
Mike's like, are you done?
Pat finally finishes and Mike's like, but then and then after that, Tennessee got up, I don't know, Tennessee was up six at one point. Kind of before Florida hit that 1-3 that might could have got him back in the game.
Yeah.
When Josiah threw the ball to bounce, or bounced it off his knee, actually. That was the one moment where we're like, oh, God, we're not going to blow this, are we? And then it was, then we made the free throw. It was fine. But after that point, Mike White he was just done. He didn't even complain anymore. He was just like, he would call the defense just kind of distraughtly. They called that hook and hold. He didn't even fight it. He just like.
Oh, he shouldn't have fought that.
He just like, I was
livid in the moment during the hook and hold because they called a foul on Vescovi at all, and he's getting thrown into the baseline. And then they show the replay in the arena, and the crowd loses their mind. And that's when Barnes runs out, and he's like, hey, you got to check that. It's a hook and hold. And Pat was like, well, hang on. And then another official comes in. I guess he was maybe looking up at the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, kind of taps Pat. He's like, hey, I think we probably should look at that. So then they go from foul on Vescovi to hook and hold flagrant.
How you could possibly, like live, the angle the TV camera's at, you couldn't see the hook and hold at all. You couldn't even see that action.
Yeah.
But you could tell that the last thing possible
was
on that
a foul
play
on Viscovi.
Was a foul on Viscovi.
I thought that was my initial thought because where I was sitting, I was.
What was really weird too is the Florida player like Viscovi's kind of falling. He's kind of stumbling and falling down at the end of it. The Florida player that did get caught for the hook and hold, like, got enough control of the ball as he started to fall to just flip it over to the other Florida guy. The ball stayed in bounds. Florida was just going to get the ball and go up the court.
Yeah.
I don't know why the official even blew the whistle. It made no sense.
No.
I mean, it worked out for Tennessee. If he doesn't blow the whistle, they don't ever go back and call that hook and hold. Florida just gone down the other end.
I guess you could let that possession play out if you're Rick Barnes and call a timeout and make them look at it or ask them to, but they're not necessarily going to do it.
I just don't think Rick Barnes would have ever cared.
No, you're probably right.
He was,
yeah.
I think everybody from Tennessee was upset because that meant Florida was going to go down and shoot free throws with not even having to run a possession.
Yeah.
And there was only like a minute left. I mean, I think Tennessee was up 6 or 4. I mean, I don't know. They weren't going to cut it to a one possession. It was 5 or 6. I know they weren't going to cut it to a one possession game, even if he made the 2 free throws. I think Tennessee might have been up 6. So if Florida goes down, probably even if they score.
How much time was left when that happened?
I feel like a minute. I don't know. Is there more? I can look it up, but.
Well, it just says, I'm just looking at the game cast here. Like, we didn't have a 6-point lead until we got up 7.
No. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, the game felt over after that play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to take credit. I don't remember our score predictions exactly. I thought Florida would come out well. Like, this happens with teams on a short stretch. Like
covering, so I'm going to take credit for that.
Yeah, it's fine. I did not. I thought we'd pull away more than we did late, but it felt like I was texting my Florida buddy, and he's like, he texted me and said, we look gassed. And I'm like, yeah, if Tennessee gets the lead here, it's probably over. And then a couple of possessions later, Tennessee takes the lead, and I don't think they ever lost it. I think that Florida came back and tied it a couple times. But, hey, Florida hit some big shots, man. They came out on fire. They were bombing threes. But Tennessee shot well, too.
Maybe I'm just
kind of hung around. No, because I'm with you. That feels right in my head, and then I look at the scorecast, and it says that we were never up by more than 2.
The scorecast is not correct.
There's no way.
It says we won the game 74-71.
Well, it ends at 12 seconds, and we hit some free throws. Like the last scorecast,
not
you get the last entry into the scorecast is with 12 seconds.
No, this says in game 74-71.
That's not right.
So I think the score.
Maybe they were 4 behind somehow. Yeah, because what you said felt right. Then I'm looking at the
scorecast. Chandler making free throws to put us up 3 with 12 seconds to go.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah. So I think it's these Viscovi free throws at 31 seconds left.
Okay.
Foul on Elijah Kennedy.
Was it Kennedy on the hook and hold?
No. That was after. They hit a 3. They fouled Viscovi on purpose. He goes down and makes free throws. It would have been this. One of these singular made free throws by Viscovi, right? And then we got the ball back.
No, he got 2.
Did he get 2?
Didn't he get 2 on the flagrant? Am I crazy?
Or did we just get 1 in the ball?
Yeah, he got 2.
I thought he got 2 in the ball.
Well, how did he? This thing's all messed up then because it doesn't even have him missing a free throw. It says he made 1 free throw.
He didn't miss a free throw.
That's what I'm saying.
We only had 1 missed free throw on the night. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Actually missing
that
baskets in the thing. So
they must be because the score is definitely wrong on that.
Yeah.
But no, I felt the whole time in the second half, especially to cut it to 8 going into halftime, you felt pretty good because it was, I think it was, what, 14 or 15? You cut it to 8. I'm thinking if Tennessee can just kind of claw back and get the lead, you feel pretty good. But Florida, I give them credit, man. They hit some shots. Tennessee did hold them to 29 points in the second half. That was pretty big.
I think that whole situation
isn't in there?
Oh, okay. This up because it has Viscovi's 2 made free throws, both at a minute exactly on the clock. It has a Tennessee timeout, a turnover by Florida, and a foul by Florida, all at a minute. So I think all of that is out of order, and the score is wrong as well.
Well, it is ESPN.com, so yeah, can't really expect too much. It's like the worst.
If that's true, it was at a minute exactly when all that happened. And the score is definitely wrong. It was not a tie game when that happened.
I didn't think so. What'd you think about the kerfluffle afterwards, as Judge Judy would say? Kerfluffle.
What sparked that? I mean,
apparently someone on Florida's team called Zakai Ziegler short.
Oh.
Which...
The guy who was tied with their leading rebounder and swatted, I think it was Appleby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, Florida's leading rebounder, six, DeRuji, and Zakai Ziegler, also six rebounds at 5'9". Josiah James led the game in rebounds with nine, but tied for second was Zakai Ziegler. They called him short.
Okay.
And I don't know why people keep doing this. The guy's from the Bronx. Like, you're not going to crack him. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get in his head. It's impossible. And I'm sure they said something about his height. He said something about someone's mama. And then was it Appleby, right? I mean, he was ready to go. He was ready to go. And then there's one video shot where Plavsic is basically just – real quick, though. Anyone at the University of Tennessee, if you're listening, stop having teams leave the court on the same side of the court. It's a terrible idea. It happened at LSU. We got technicals on the coaches. I don't know what the hell is going on, but if their locker room's on that side, have them leave in the other corner and then walk over. Leaving on the same side of the court, that's two games in a row that you've about had a fight because of it.
Do we go out the tunnel right beside our bench?
Yes.
And they have to cross the floor like at a 45-degree angle,
yes,
diagonally?
Yes, to like the southwest corner.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they just don't go out the southeast corner and then loop and around.
Walk around, yeah.
Because it used to, the teams would come in and exit in the tunnel right next to their bench. And now you get this weird handshake line where the visiting teams walking off and we have to loop around, and you've got too many people on the court. You know, tempers are high, people are mad, especially, you know, LSU and last night Florida. Either delay it, have them walk on the far end. Like, you got to do something. It's just a bad idea. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, is it Michigan's locker room the same way? Like, you have to come onto the field right next to – it's just a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think Notre Dame's the same way. It's just you're begging for an altercation right there. Just get it. So if anyone at Tennessee is listening, stop that from happening, please. Please. Because somebody's going to throw a punch, and it's going to be Yarosh, and we don't want to lose him for a game or two.
Well, we could have lost him last night.
We don't want him to murder anyone and have to go to prison.
He definitely has like a sharpened toothbrush in a sock. And you look at him the wrong way. Wait, we almost lost him on the shove?
No, I said we could have lost him last night. It wouldn't have mattered. He didn't do anything.
Okay, I mean, I wouldn't say he didn't do anything. He didn't score.
Like, can Hillman Folke, like, play decent on the same night, please?
They played him together a lot last night. Well, not a lot. I mean, Yarosh only got 9 minutes.
Until they went really small in the second half. Yeah.
Did Yarosh play?
That actually helped
in the second half?
Very, very little.
Like just the first 2 minutes?
Just to start.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. He went with the same starters.
We got to play into this like, hey, you know, we ain't going to back down from anybody. We're going to get in your face. We're going to play chippy and edgy like that.
Play into it. It's just reality now.
Well, I mean,
I love it.
I like it.
Like, I love it.
Let's keep doing this.
Well, it feels like you have a couple of players on the team who maybe needed somebody to do it first, and then they'll have a little bit of that edge to them, right? And Plavsic just doesn't care. Nicest guy in the world until he gets on the court, and then he just wants to slit your throat. But he started doing it, and now you've seen Vescovi have a little bit more of that attitude. Kennedy Chandler is starting to get a little more of that attitude. And obviously Ziegler, like, I think he had it anyway. But now that he's got a couple teammates doing it, he's like, all right, you ain't going to bully me around. Like, my teammates got my back. You're not going to call me short. And, yeah.
What a weird game. I mean, Tennessee shot 46% from three, 94% from the free throw line.
Yeah. I mean, these are good things.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Missed one free throw.
But I didn't feel like we played very good defense in the first half. It's like,
well, I didn't think the defense was terrible. I thought Florida hit.
They did hit some,
they hit
tough,
some tough threes. And that's why I said yesterday, teams in Florida situation, right? Short rest, road trip. You're coming out. You got some adrenaline going, but you know you're going to get tired. So you just start hoisting threes. And, you know, they were hitting them. Tennessee got, I mean, felt like we got down pretty quick. We were down, 12 and then cut it to 2 and then got down 10 again. Yep. Kind of fought our way back. But yeah, Florida hit some tough shots. I didn't think the D was bad. I mean, they were just. I mean, was it Appleby who hit the three from like the third in?
Yeah,
it's third in, the second in Tennessee, and then comes down a possession later from almost the same distance and banks it in, and mm-hmm. you're just like, whoa, okay,
yeah,
gonna be that kind of night, huh? And you know, situations like that. Those you're gonna let a guy take that shot every single time.
Sure, yeah.
How many turnovers?
Still though, it was more of their plays where they got to the basket that was annoying. The first half, but we cleaned that up. You know, we were much tougher in the second.
Yeah, they had a. It seemed like it was like broken plays, right? Where you would think Florida was kind of hemmed in, and then somebody would, the ball would spit out, and then all of a sudden, a guy's got a layup or a dunk.
Yeah,
strange stuff.
Not
your typical like, oh, we just gave up a back door there.
One in stripes weighed in and said it was at the 1 minute mark when the whole Viscovi hook and hold situation happened, and that Pat Adams was still atrocious. That coming from a referee official.
I didn't think he was atrocious, but I didn't watch the game on TV, so
you'd have felt differently.
Well, I saw everyone tweeting about it. I was like, man, I was at the game. It didn't really feel like it was bad.
He just that's good officials make bad calls sometimes.
Yeah.
The most frustrating thing about SEC officiating in football and basketball is they have bad officials and they don't do anything about them.
Yeah.
They never do anything about them.
Well, yeah, what is it Sankey said a couple weeks ago? Like, oh, we can make them full-time, but that's not going to fix the problem. It's like, wait, so you're saying there's a problem, but you're not going to...
Not even going to attempt to fix it?
He's like, that wouldn't help anything. It's like, well, are you saying it needs help? Are you... I'm just curious. What
the out-of-bounds call when Kenny Chandler was down there with, I think it was Appleby, where Appleby just dribbled it off his leg.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Nikki tweets in and says, what started the altercation after the game? I think it was Appleby called, I don't know if it was Appleby, but somebody called Ziegler short, he popped off, and then Appleby loses his mind. I mean, had to be restrained by two teammates and a manager. Hit poor Mary Carter. I reached out to her to see if he actually like touched her, but... Our guys are, and that's why I said, like, you gotta get those guys leaving the court at different ends. Like, shake your hands, go back, be done, because you're begging for something there. Just bad stuff. But at least that's what all the reports were. Somebody called Ziegler short. Ziegler didn't like that too much. Made a joke about some dude or his girlfriend or his mom or whatever, and things got. I guess he didn't do anything. But he looked like a guy who was about to do something really, really stupid. I mean, that was really stupid. He made an idiot of himself. But the way he was all tensed up and
the way his hands were,
bald fists,
reminded me of my JV basketball coach when he get really, really mad at us.
Reminded me of Penny Hardaway.
Halftime speech, he'd ball his fist up like that, and he'd stand like he was ready to fight. I mean, he had self discipline and was, you know, a really good dude and everything. But his bottom lip would even quiver because he'd be so mad if we weren't giving good effort, and he would just lay into us.
Well, then he goes over in front of the...
Then we play some ball.
Yeah, of course, naturally. Then he went over in front of the student section, and they're gator chomping him. I mean, that's duh. Yeah, whatever. And then he like, kind of fake went at a student.
Yeah, like he was going to go in the crowd.
Like you get in a guy's face, and he did that, and somebody grabs him. It was, I don't know. It was like he was wanting attention to, like, stop me. Stop me. Seriously, I'm going to fight if you don't stop me. Oh, you grabbed me. Lucky you stopped me.
Yeah.
Hold me back.
John Akery reminded me that on that, the reason Mike White's saying six, he's like going up, was because when we tackled their guy and he should have got three free throws, we then went down and hit a three on the other end. So he was saying, Pat, come on. It's a 6-point swing. Like you cost us 6 points.
Well, we won by seven, so it's just, who cares?
No, I'm with that. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, until all 14 universities and their athletic departments and their coaches get together and say, hey, we're all tired of being screwed at different times.
Well, that's the key, right?
We have to suspend our you know, madness, anger in the moment and remember when we were angry and actually respect your anger and go to Sankey together and say, dude, we're not playing. Basically,
is ridiculous. What you said is the problem. Like, hey, it happened to us. Now it's happening to you. Whatever. And then it's going to happen to us again. You're going to be mad.
When it happens, if it happens to us, next midweek game, we lose Mississippi State on a bad call, we're going to be livid. And Florida's going to be like, ha, 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 ha.
Payback. But that's kind of the beauty of what they're doing. Like, everybody gets I mean, I guess there's probably somebody out there who doesn't get screwed by the officials.
Nick that Saban. Often.
That's where I was going, actually.
But. Yeah. Well, and there's also, it's I don't know what you want to call the phenomenon, but
phenomenon.
The better you are, even if you get screwed equal amounts, it doesn't seem to screw you as much when you're the best.
Right, yeah.
Because you go on to win some games anyway, you know,
a lot of your games aren't close.
Right, yeah. But I'll never forget that referee in the first quarter of an Ole Miss-Alabama game. I think he was just being lazy.
Was it the looking back to spot?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 0-0.
Make sure it's the first down here.
First quarter. And, I mean, he literally spotted the football. He was near the chains. He looked back, saw where the chains were. He moved it forward about 3 feet, maybe 2.5 feet.
Okay.
Made sure it was a first down. I think they just didn't want to measure. Like, it didn't even make any sense. Like, why you would.
No, as far as he moved it, you wouldn't have to.
This was when
Ole
Miss wasn't even challenging Alabama.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
It would have been. It just. I don't know. But that shows you, right? Like, that crap should not happen.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. You can't be such a lazy ass. They do that all the time, though. I've noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a non-critical moment in the game and it's close, they will either move it ahead a foot or behind a foot so they can either be like, oh, third down or not first down, move the chains. Let's go. Keep it moving.
Yep.
Which if they just went to my, 15-yard maximum first down rule with the yard lines, it'd be
easy. You want 15?
Well, that's the max you could ever have would be first and 14 and a half.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah. But you might have a,
First and two.
10 and a half. No.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm
it's got to be between 10 and 15.
That's right.
You got to gain two lines.
Okay, I got you.
Or, yeah. Is that right?
I don't remember.
You have to make the third line.
We'll figure it out. It's a long show.
Right, because you go 1 yard, six.
Hit me, just hit the button.
Yeah. Phone calls brought to you on the G3 Help Me Hotlines, 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in, Hickman was saying during the break, we just dominated Florida in basketball recently. Pretty awesome.
Even the all-time series isn't really that close.
Really?
Aren't we up by like 10 or 15 maybe? I know they showed the graphic on the screen last night, and I was kind of shocked.
What's the latest? 7 of 8?
7 of the last 8.
Man.
Shouts out Mike White.
On in the Gators.
Lifetime contract. Sorry, yeah. Katie.
Florida was 100% from the free throw line.
They were.
But they only attempted 9 shots. You'd think they would have tried to get to the line more with a smaller lineup. They were 10 of 33 from 3. And, I don't know. Tennessee shot 18 free throws, 17 of 18.
Did we miss the first one? Victor Bailey got the 1-1, missed it, and then we hit the rest for the game?
That's correct. Fulkerson was 3 of 3. Josiah James, 2 of 2. Kenny Chandler and Bob were both 6 of 6.
Hey, Chandler wasn't falling back. They were all perfect swishes. Same for Bob.
I don't know if you noticed, Chris, but we're playing through Bob now. That's the deal.
I did, and I'm fine with it.
When they went money, it's for Bob. When they went
it should be.
Some of the overcross stuff, it's for Bob.
Well, I also noticed, midway through the second half, it wasn't Kennedy Chandler setting up the offense at all. They'd have, Joe up top to start the motion, and Kennedy would run to the corner. And then they'd start, the weave and all that. But it's we're adjusting. And I think the adjustments are kind of so far so good. I mean, Bob was awesome last night. He kept you in it early, hitting those threes when Florida couldn't miss. And he hit his free throws, made some clutch shots. Powell gets a steal off a deflection, and I'm thinking, give it up, give it up, give it up. Gives it to Bob on the left side. I kind of want him to give it to Chandler on the right, but then Vescovi goes up and under on the reverse, protects the ball. I mean, it was a great shot. But, yeah, he's playing at a different level.
What do you think?
5 of 8 from 3 last night.
What do you think the all-time series is with Florida, if you had to guess?
How many total games?
You're going to make me do that math?
Oh, God. Yeah, you're bad at this.
138.
78-50. Wait. Sorry. 78-60? What is it?
Tennessee has 80 wins and 58 losses in the all-time series.
78-60.
Pretty good. I'll take the 7 out of 8, too, recently. Loving that. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Got Phil on the horn. What's up, Philly? You're on 3 and out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Philly?
That's nice to Tom Brady fan answering the phone over there.
Hey. Yeah. He's got some new specs on today. Looking good. Looks like Rick Vaughn, Wild Thing.
I'll take it.
You know, you're talking about the Tennessee-Florida series. You know, Florida, we had a really big lead on them, and then in the 80s and 90s, they kind of were creeping up until Buck Pearl got here. And I'd say since Buck Pearl till now, Tennessee's probably won at least 60% of the games.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
Except when Conzone and Buzz Peterson. I mean, I don't know if Conzone even beat Florida, did he?
Ooh.
I feel like we wore gray jerseys 1 year. I think the first time we ever did it in basketball, he beat Florida.
Oh, did he? I know we got beat in the SEC tournament by Florida, wearing gray jerseys.
Yeah, I remember that. Pat Adams was on that call. I'll never forget that game. He was abysmal that day.
Boy, he is awful, isn't he?
He's something.
And the other two weren't too good either. That's what makes it even worse.
No. No, because who was it that day? It was definitely Pat. I don't think it was Pat and Teddy V, but it was like – I was going to say, was it Doug Shows and –
That's the only ones I know.
It was like Pat Adams, Doug Shows, and another guy who isn't – he's not nearly as bad as those two, but he was that was a bad crew. They stole that game.
Doug Shows was refereeing the LSU game, and he gave Tennessee a fair bit of whistle.
No, that's what I was telling Nate earlier. Adams was on the Arizona whistle, and a lot of people said we got a really favorable call that night.
We did.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So maybe Pat Adams is starting to say, "Hey, Tennessee might be my squad." Hope we didn't find some pictures
Barnes
on Facebook.
Was working the referees last night.
He was, and I thought we always want our coaches to work the referees a little bit more, and Barnes has been criticized for that several times. And I thought last night he kind of picks and he picks his moments. But every time he would go out there and start getting on them, something would change. They'd go look at the monitor. We'd get a makeup call on the other end. So, I think, and I don't know enough about Mike White and officials. He's not a Will Wade type, but so I think maybe the SEC officials are saying, hey, if you're not going to respect us, we're not going to give you all these calls. But if you'll come and talk to us like an adult, maybe we'll actually look at what you're talking about. And Rick Barnes. He was heated a couple times, but I thought he went about it the right way.
Yeah. Well, all I care is we beat Florida, and Danny White saw his brother go down in flames last night. Pretty cool.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, and then Fulmer was there. I'm surprised we won with him in the crowd.
You know, it's funny. I was at the game, Phil. For Arizona, Hickman can attest to this. They put him up on the Jumbotron, and there wasn't really a cheer, and it wasn't really a boo, but you could hear some boos. They didn't put him on the Jumbotron last night.
I definitely booed.
Yeah, you admit that you stood up loudly and booed, and people looked at you funny.
Yeah, a lot of casual fans sitting around me.
How dare you? That's Fulmer. But no, they didn't even put him on the Jumbotron last night.
He was on there. Yeah, he walked in. Heath Shuler was on the Jumbotron. I saw it. I was there last night myself.
They showed Heath Shuler or they showed Phil?
They saw Fulmer leading Heath Shuler into to the seats.
Really? I don't. Was it early in the game?
It was before the game.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, Arizona, they put him on there like middle of the game during a timeout, and everyone's like, hey, yeah, this guy, okay. I didn't see that last night.
But getting back to the Tennessee, Vescovi, I'm glad he's playing it at a high level right now. It'd be nice you get Chandler to play at a higher level. These silly turnovers are just killing us.
Yeah, it felt like he had more than he did last night, Philly. He only had three, but two of them were just awful, kind of lazy cross-court passes. I will say, on both of them, he got back and kind of knocked the ball out of bounds to at least force a reset. But, yeah, those were two really bad turnovers by him. Josiah had a couple where you're just like, what are you doing, man? Like, just make a crisp pass, and it's no problem. But I'm with you, Phil. I thought Chandler played okay. I mean, he had 17 points. He hit all his free throws. Tried to go to the rim a few times. You know, I feel like he gets to the rim or close and kind of gets a little nervous. I think if he just jumps and goes at it, you know, full bore, he'll be fine. He did miss a couple kind of bunny layups at the rim.
But trying to finger, was he trying to finger roll it?
Yeah, and he left it. Yeah, he left it short on the finger roll in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got to keep winning. That's the thing. And Texas A&M, I'm not counting the Texas game because this is the fluff game Saturday. But the
yeah.
When we play Texas A&M next week, that's a dangerous game.
I agree. I think Buzz Williams is a good coach, and I think that's a team that's probably gotten – I don't want to say they're the most improved since the start of the season, but they've started to figure it out. They're 15-5. Tennessee currently in the SEC standings is a half game ahead of them, and obviously they come in here – is that Tuesday night or Wednesday night, Phil?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good squad, though. They hung around last night.
Would be nice if we could go to Texas and pull that out.
Yeah, they were in the top 25. Yeah, it would be. I think they're still in the coaches poll top 25. They fell out of the AP, but I mean, they're still a top. You know, that's a quad one win. If you can go on the road and get that by any margin, I'd be totally satisfied.
Well, guys, I'm gonna celebrate it. See you.
Attaboy. Mix in a water there, Phil. Yeah, here and there. Bob Vescovi.
He's a stud.
Hey, people were kind of hating on him earlier in the year. Just even some callers to this very show.
It's eyeball test, man. They're like, oh, he's slow. It's like, no, not really. He plays offense slow, and you can play offense slow. That's the beauty of offense. You get to play at whatever pace you want. As long as they can't take the ball from you, it doesn't matter.
I was worried early in his career. After, I think, the first game he came against LSU, he had a really big day.
Mm-hmm.
But his release is a little slow. It's not a quick release. It's almost like a set shot every time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Guy's cash. 5 of 8 from 3 last night. He kept you in the game early hitting those threes. I mean, he's not a turnover machine anymore. He protects the ball for the most part. His defense has improved. I mean, you know, I get it. Yeah, he's not the fastest guy out there. He's not Zakai Ziegler, but man, the guy can play.
Mm-hmm.
Just a ball player. And he's so fun. We have a guy we get to call Bob. I mean, that's great.
It's great.
Yeah. It's top shelf.
Incredible.
Top shelf stuff.
Final segment, hour one, next.
I was waiting for you to look at me so I could give you the finger. And then,
yeah, you like giving him the finger, huh?
Final segment, hour one. He's from Uruguay, not Australia.
That counts.
This is a great song.
Agree, yeah, it's hard to disagree with that.
Banger of the day. Hickman, you want to do a depot today? I'd have to change my intro. Your host today and always.
What?
If Hickman did a depot.
Don't worry about it. You're distracted by Wordle.
If Hickman did a depot, then you know, he'd have to change the intro. It's not today and always. Davey Hudson would be special guest.
Speaking of intro, I might need to take Dave's name out of the intro. We don't know when he's going to be back.
Oh, man.
I don't want to confuse people.
That would be something there.
He'd be livid.
He'd never let you.
I'm doing it.
Oh, no.
Just bleep it out. Like just, we have to do with most of what he says in the depot.
Just for the time being.
Especially his most recent depot. No comment. 23 points for Vescovi last night.
He's a man.
4 assists, only 2 turnovers, 3 rebounds. He's only played 28 minutes.
Yeah, and got some rest.
He picked up those 2 quick fouls in the first half and set. I was pretty impressed with Barnes, though. He brought him back in with... I think he was doing some offense defense switch in, mm-hmm. late in the first half to get him back out there. Thought that was smart. And then I believe he did that with Chandler. Chandler picked up 3. I want to say like 15 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up his 3rd, and then I was thinking, oh, we won't see him until, you know, 8 minutes. And he brought him, I think, in at 12 and a half for some offense defense. Maybe Barnes has learned his lesson. Not going to leave good players on the bench. Drew 19 fouls. Florida with 19. Tennessee finished with 16. Feels like a fairly even whistle there. Especially a couple of their fouls late were intentional.
Yeah.
What's your smirk? I don't like your smirk.
No, I mean...
You're smirking.
That one exchange, I mean, it was pretty bad. Like, that, I'd be...
You know, in the NBA, that's a foul on the offense for jumping into the... jumping into the defender.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Get off Wordle.
I'm on
it. What is it? Why is that thing gone just so so crazy? Is it that fun?
I don't know. I played it yesterday first time.
I play Wordscapes.
You know, Wordscapes?
Yeah, it's a game on your phone. They give you like five, six, seven, eight, 10 letters, and you got to make as many words out of it as you can and fill in the crossword puzzle. It's fun. Help your vocabulary. That just feels like that's just a clue game. It's a mystery. You're not really learning anything.
No, I don't know. It's fine. You're just trying to figure it out.
Just stealing your attention all morning. It's fine.
I just pulled it up during the break. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm just saying. You just feel a little distracted. Vols got a big win last night.
I don't know what... I mean, are you on board with me now? Are you glad
that
Florida was a little beat up and it made it easier for us to kind of put them away in the second half? Or would you have preferred them to be at full strength and maybe this game goes down to the last possession?
I would have 100% preferred them to be at full strength because then they wouldn't have hoisted so many early threes. And I think it would have been – I'm not kidding. I think it benefited Florida last night that Castleton was out because they just came out firing and they were hitting all their shots.
So you don't think this would have been a closer game if they were at full
strength?
I really don't. Okay.
You disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably goes a little more down to the wire. They're full strength. It would have been a completely different game. Maybe you're right. Maybe they score less points in the first half, but they're better down the stretch with more depth.
I mean, my Florida friend was saying they hadn't shot like that in 13 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe at halftime it's 36-34 Florida instead of 42-34, and then in the second half maybe they score 40 points and we win by two. I don't know. But maybe we lose. Just saying. Glad to get the win. We're now 5-3, and they're 3-5. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we're fourth now in the league, so that would give us the double bye if the right now we're staring at a double bye in the SEC tournament.
We control our destiny.
We'd be on Auburn's side of the bracket as things stand.
We need to get to the three.
If we beat Texas this weekend, we should be, if things go according to plan, 19-5 before we face another possible loss. And that would be when Kentucky comes to town.
You're just counting those wins, huh?
Why would I do that?
At Mississippi State, you're just counting that as a win?
Counting that as a dub? Overtime with Kentucky.
I thought you hated Rick Barnes, and now you're all like, oh, yeah. You're setting the expectations that we better go 19-5?
I don't hate Rick Barnes. I hate Coach Barnes. Mm. Rick Barnes is a nice guy.
That's deep thoughts right there with Adam Hickman.
Coach Barnes, a little frustrating at times.
We're only a game behind Kentucky. I mean, if we beat them, like, just even Steven.
Mm-hmm. Last night, Hickman, what was wrong with what he did? I mean, he got the right guys in the game. I liked the rotation.
I was pleased
for the most
part.
He got onto the officials a few times. Didn't seem to blow up on any of his own players.
It's not his fault we turned the ball over, 12 times in the first half or more?
At one point in the first half, we had 11 turnovers. They had three.
I think we finished with 17.
Did we turn it over 17 times?
I think so.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, you cut that in half. Or
It was 16. But, I mean, it's still. And they had 13. But you started evening it up after you. Like I said, we had 11 in the first half, so we must have only had. I mean, we had no more than five in the second half. I'll take that. I thought John Fulkerson gave you some good minutes off the bench. Got 18 minutes, but scored 9 points, 2 rebounds, 3 blocks. One of them was a SWAT team. Did you watch the game?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah.
All right. Let's check.
No, I mean, I think Barnes has realized that we're not just going to be able to run down the floor and try and make post entry to Fulkerson constantly and then let play through. Like, I think Barnes thought we could do that with Fulkerson and Kamwa. And
You know, in a way, last night, though, they probably could have. Fulkerson was doing – I mean, he didn't get a lot of opportunities.
Well,
but
they ran a set play to get him the ball down there, and it worked great, and he banked it off the glass and scored, and it was awesome, and it was one of the key plays of the game down the stretch. Yep. They ran a set play where they had Vescovy set the lateral screen.
Yep. I was actually watching that action before that happened.
And that's what you have to do to spring Fulkerson to get him a touch that deep. He's not going to be like Tshiebwe or one of these massive post guys where you can just play 4-on-1 and
he'll back you down and get his position.
Yeah, let him hold up to constant beatings and just recreate angles. I mean, normally if you have a dominant, you know, you got a big 7-footer and he's unstoppable with a foot in the paint, you just tell him, go stand down there. And whichever way the guy plays you, then just we'll move the ball around and get a good angle, get you the ball, and then turn around and score. Like, Fulkerson's not that type of post player. So let him play within the offense, and then if you do have a good matchup, spring him with a screen. And when you set it, when Bob sets screens, it's dangerous for the defense because you can't bump, you can't allow separation and bump and help because then he's coming off another screen to shoot.
No, that's what we did to LSU to create all that space for his shots.
They're running a set where Bob comes up on the diagonal back screen. He sets that. He set one for Plavsic last night. So Plavsic comes off, you know, he sets his man up like he's going to go kind of backdoor for the lob. Then he front cuts right off of it. Bob sets the screen. If you don't pick up, if the big guy gets screened and Vescovi's man stays with him, I mean, it's just throw it to Plavsic for the dunk, wide open. Normally when a back screen's set, the defender, so this will be Bob's defender in this scenario, he's got to wait and chuck Plavsic. Well, if he gets caught up in that traffic, now Bob pops up to the top of the key and he's wide open for three. We're finally doing some things that make sense of how to use this cast that has very different skill sets. If you got five kids from Alabama that are all great at getting the basket and great at shooting threes, you can just run the same motion offense all the time and let them play. But when we've got a European-style guard, a European 7-footer, American kind of skinny athletic post, and a Bronx point guard, you got to do different things to play to their strengths. Come back, hour two next.